Good morning, Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Vav. And we're starting at the bottom of Hamud Bet. Dedicate the Shir Nishmot, regarding this war, the Chayalim and the civilians, the Tzuim shall be healed, and the Chatufim mentioned Daniel Shimon Ben Sharon, and others, Mishri Matzliach. Okay, so we continue discussing how the Gemara taken an approach that if a person is Chashud for Mammon, so then he should also be. Then he's. Why aren't we concerned that he's chashud for shvua? Because if the guy's a rasha, right? Then how can we rely on him to make a shvua? So we've seen a couple of reasons. We want to say no, he's not ready. We have the case of rabba that ain't adam meis b'nei bal chovo. That really he wants to pay you, just he hasn't got it all now. And he's buying time. We saw a couple of other reasons that even the shomrim. We had the case of the shomrim. There was Rabbi Bar Chama brought the case of the four shomrim. And we saw each one of them make a shvua. We said the same thing over there. Even the shomer really, we really wants to give it back to you, but he wants to try and find it. He wants to try and relocate it, etc., etc., etc. So the Mora carries on and says like this: one of the that's all very nice when we're saying that a guy saying he hasn't got it, but when a shomer. Right, we had a case. Look at the Gemara here. It says we had Amrav Una. Where's that Rashi? It's the bottom, third last lines at the bottom. We'll see Amrav Una. Lakaman ba Amafkid. That's Perik Shlishi, I think, is Amafkid, right? Yeah, Perik Shlishi is Amafkid. We'll see later on in the third Perik of the Masech. Did Amafkid? We'll tell us over there. Gabe Shilaim v'loratzali shava. A guy who says, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to pay you. Right? The Shomer who's Patur. Doesn't have to pay from David Baba. Just take the money. I don't want to make a shvua. So now we've got a different set of concerns all of a sudden. What do you mean you don't want to make a shvua? You patur. If you really haven't got it, if it's really taken from you, why wouldn't you want to make a shvua? So there, what do? We make him make a shvua. Listen to this. Right? Look at the Rashi. I'm reading that Rashi, the second last lines of Rashi on the Amud. If he wants to pay instead of making a shvua, you make him make a shvua anyhow. Mashbino to shvua she'ena birshuto, that he hasn't got it. Chayshina and shema enav natawah, because now suddenly our concerns are different completely. A moment ago, we need one more guy to put on the screen, please, because we've got at least to have equal numbers here. Right? Up until now, our concern was that he's lying, that he's lost. Now, when he suddenly wants to pay instead of make the shvua that it was lost, our concern becomes not lost. He's got it, and he wants it. He's keeping it for himself. He'd rather have it. Say, I'll pay you for it. So, says Rav Huna. We didn't worry that he was chashud b'mamon, chashud b'shvua, because we said that the guy really hasn't got it. And why is he lying? Or why is he telling us it was stolen? Because he's hoping to buy time and get it back. But now he says, now let me pay you. And what should we make him make? That he hasn't got it in his hands. So now we're suddenly doubting him, correct? We're saying, why do you want to pay? Because you want it, because you're stealing it. You've coveted it. So now we make you make a shvur that you haven't got it in your hands. But this is mamash a case now. We're proper chashuv b'mamun. We can't use the example any longer that the reason he wants to say that it's lost is because he wants to buy time and therefore he's not really a liar. He's a good guy and he's going to try and find it and he's just stalling. Yeah, we're mamash concerned. The guy wants it for himself. He's taking it. So how can we make him make a shvur? Surely we shouldn't trust the guy to make a shvur. Are you with me? Right? And now we don't trust him. So how can we let him make a shvur? Why do we make him make a shvur? We said, no, we aren't worried there either. He says, Hatam nami mori v'amar. There, so mori, what does it mean mori? Mori means, you've seen before, he rationalizes. He teaches himself a heter. I want to welcome Kevin back. Sorry, I didn't, before we were recording, I want to welcome Kevin back. Wish you long life, Kevin. Right? He says, Nami Mori V'Amar. To make, I have the what? I paid the money, so I'm not lying. That's why he's happy to make the shvua. It's not choshet. The guy rationalizes, once I'm paying you, it's okay. Right? So, Amri Rav Achamidifti Ravina, V'Akavar Alav Delo Tachmod. Wait a second. So, you're telling me we aren't really choshed on him with a mammon because he's paying the money, therefore he justifies that it's his and he can make whatever shvua he wants because he's not really a liar. So, we have to worry about him, which can fully make the shvua. But what about the issue of Lo Tachmod? One of the Ten Commandments. You should not covet. And yeah, he coveted. He had something he was holding for the guy. He was a shomer, and he coveted it, and he took it. So what about he being over a lot tachmod? How come we don't say the guy's a Rasha, we can't make him make a shvua? Look at Rashi, lo chashid mamona. Tomorrow, maybe not, but lemeimar demei by now. But how can we lo tachmod? Mali chashud li al tachmod. Al lo tachmod, mali chashud li al lo tigzo. What do I care? So you tell me, lo tigzo, we don't worry about. Because he thinks to himself, he's not stealing because he's paying. So we're not chashud mamon. But what about chashud al lo tachmod? What do I care which one is? Look at the last Rashi, a name of migod a chashud, lay chashud shvata. Should make the difference. We still chashud, the guy's a Rasha. Right, so listen to the answer the Gemara says, Lo tachmod le'inche belo demei mashmenehu. When do we say that a guy's over on Lo tachmod? He doesn't pay the money. When he gives the money, he's not Lo tachmod anymore. I suppose that's the way of the world, right? If a person didn't covet something, he wouldn't buy it. So covet wanting something and then paying for it. I'm not talking about a chamsa now who forces you, puts a gun to your and takes it and pays you with the money. I'm talking about a guy who voluntarily pays you and you give it to him. That's not called Lo tachmod. This is one of the few places in Shas, by the way, where they discuss this concept of Lo Tachmod. I saw in the Daf notes. So one of the few places in Shas, in the Bavli at least, where this concept of not coveting is mentioned in the Gemara, is here in Amasekhta. It's actually an amazing, I know we're going to run out of time, but I've got to tell you this.
I think it's a temporary Avera, because it's Tachmod is temporary in this case. First he was over the veil of Lord Tachmod.
No. He's not a veil. If he pays, he's not over at all. It's not Tachmod. Tachmod only when he takes without paying. In other words, Tachmod and Gzeila seem to go together. If a guy takes without paying, it's not called Lord Tachmod at all. Not even temporary. There's an amazing Ramah. By the way, the Orach Chofetz Chaim discusses a case of in our world, it's not so accepted. But in the Haredi world, for example, when people want to go to a yeshiva, they do deals, they get married with their father-in-law, he's going to support them and give them property and look after them, etc., etc. Chofetz Chaim says that a person, once his father-in-law, he shouldn't be tachmod on his wife's assets from the father-in-law. In other words, start rationalizing, anyhow, she's going to inherit it, and therefore he wants to try and push the father-in-law to get more and more and more in a deal like that. And he quotes the Ramah, I've actually got to read it to you, it's mind-boggling. Because I want to read it to you, if I can find it quickly. It says like this, an agreement between in-laws, interesting to cite the Chofetz Chaim in Shvat HaLashon, who warns that this prohibition is commonly transgressed by in-laws who sign obligations, tonight involving the wedding, and later press the other side to add to the amount. Right, to add to the amount. So he says, likewise, a chatan who stubbornly imposed on his father-in-law to give him property or money not previously agreed upon transgresses this prohibition. So the Ramah writes, this is what he writes, he stresses that a chatan should not argue concerning his bride's property, and he who does so will not have a successful marriage. Rather, he should accept anything his in-laws give him gladly, and then he will succeed. And listen to this, the Chazon Ish writes in Kovetz Igrot, that the Ramah's promise is more reliable than any effort to procure finances. In other words, if you accept what your parents will give you gladly, you'll be successful. And the Chazon Ish writes, that's a guarantee, a bigger guarantee than anything else you can think of, that you're for success. Just be grateful for what your parents will give you and say thank you, and that's it. Don't ask for any more, and then you'll be successful. That's a nice idea of the opposite of Lo Tachmod. Okay. So he said, like, the Gemara carries on that. So now we carry on discussing a couple of these. We've seen a couple of reasons when we aren't choshed for the guy for Mammon, choshed for Mammon because of the story. The Gemara carries on. He said, Ve'elaha dam Rav Nachman. What about this case of Rav Nachman said, Mashbino to Shvuat Heset? Remember this. A guy who wouldn't, Sh'anim Mori Mitzat. Rashi said there wasn't Mori Mitzat. And he doesn't want to make the shvur, so we sort of make him make a shvur d'rabbanan. We said there. Why don't we say again? Now we go to chashda mamona chashda shvuata. Why don't we worry about it there as well? Right? Rav Nachman said that if a person denies it, right, but he doesn't want to make a shvur, he won't make a shvur. Or if he denies everything, not a modim mitzvah, he denies it all. So he's patur from a shvur. I think that's the better explanation over here. And nonetheless, we still make him make a shvur. Shvur they said. Why don't we say, since he denied it all, he's chashed with mammon, he shouldn't make a shvua? He says, but two, huh? Another case, the Gemara says, Ta detani Rabbi Chia. Remember that case with the shopkeeper? Shnehem nishbayim v'notim yabalabayit? That when the shopkeeper says he never got the money, but he paid the worker, and the worker says he never got the food, and the balabayit owes him the money, we said both they make a shvua, and they both pay the money. Why don't we again there say, Naomi God, Chashna Mamon, Chashna Shvuata? We don't trust in their both. One of them's lying, or they're both lying. The Balabait knows he gave the money, and they're making shvuas. And how can we rely on the shvuas if they're denying that he gave the money? Well, he knows that he gave the money. But two, another case, Vahad Amar Rav Sheshet. Remember, Rav Sheshet said that we don't make a shvua for Rav Sheshet. We saw Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We saw there, we had a machloket rachia where Rav Sheshet said, Amar Heilich Patur from a shvua. The guy says, Heilach is Patur. So we said that Amar Rav Sheshet Shalosh Shvuot. And then Rav Sheshet mentioned there that when we make the guy, we ultimately do make him make a shvua. We don't rely on only one shvua, make him make three shvuas. Right, we make shvur shlo pashati, wasn't poshe, was a negligent shvur shlo shlacht, I never used it, and shvur shlo shlo, I haven't got it. In all those cases there as well, with the shomer, name a migod hachashem one hachashem shvurata. Why don't we say this? Ela lo amrinan migod hachashem one hachashem shvurata. We don't say it. Right, we don't say it. Bottom line is, the Gemara comes to the conclusion over here, we're going to see Abai is going to argue about it in a moment. Right, and there was no dechia on any of these things. We accepted all those answers. And therefore, this whole concept of being choshed, we've sort of bounced out. So Abaya disagrees here. Abaya says like this. Abaya Amar, Chai shina shema malve yeshna, shema milve yeshno, yeshana yeshlo alav. Sorry. So the Abaya says, no, that's not the reason that we're on choshed b'mamon, choshed b'shvua. We are choshed b'mamon. But why do we allow him to make a shvua? Because we are choshed that maybe, in one of these cases, there was a pre-existing loan that the mafkid owed the shomer. And when the shomer chapped it, he was taking it in lieu of payment from a previous loan. So he brings another whole reason. Not because we aren't choshed b'mamon. We would normally, if we never had grounds to think that maybe there's a pre-existing loan, yeah, we would be choshed. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If that's the case. If there's a loan over here, pre-existing loan, they want to make a shvur for it. Let him just take it. Look at Rashi. Ligvot milvish, or take it back. So he says, no, elechai shina, shema safek milvish, yeshna alo alav. Velo amrina antafis, alo misfeka, mishtaba nami misafek. So he says, no. Our concern over there is he's not a certain that he's got a loan. There's no certainty. There's a safek loan over here. So he would say, says, I don't understand. Well, then lava amrina, so then why don't we say, if he took the money b'safek, maybe he's also mishtabed on b'safek, maybe the shvua is a safek shvua. So Rav Sheshet says, listen to what Rav Sheshet says. Rav Sheshet, b'reid Rav Idi, parshei inshei misafek shvua velo parshei misafek mamona. He says, people are more concerned about a safek shvua. In other words, they'd be quicker not to make a shvua out of a safek than to chap money out of a safek. Again, we see once again how this concept of shvua is so I don't know what the word is, but so fearful. People are so fearful of a shvua, right? The awe of a shvua is seems to be above anything else. But my time, what's the reason? Mamon ite bechazara. If you took money by mistake, you can give it back. Shvua later bechazara. You made a shvua, there's no going back. Once you invoke God's name in vain and you did this whole tekes, you went all the way, there's no going back. You can't undo it. So money, the guys will take, because if you can prove that there wasn't my money, I'll give it back to you.
You say this
from Sota,
don't we?
We're from a Sota, what are we trying to?
It's like the Shua, and then they put the.
I'm trying to think if there, the I think the idea was the dissolving of the water, but it's probably the same idea. In other words, it's undoable. It's undoable. Correct. It's undoable. Yeah. You can't do it. Correct. That's exactly. So there we're warning her all the time that if she doesn't admit, we're going to have to dissolve Hashem's name in the water. Right, it's the same sort of concept. Agreed. Right, good point. Okay. So now, by Rabbi Zeira also said, up until now, basically from the first five daf, let's say Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and Hey, the first four daf, we spent discussing, both of them are Muchsak, right? It's Muchsak, both of them are holding. They're both holding the Talis. Now suddenly the Gemara changes gear and says, what happens if only now one of them are holding it? It's not two of them are holding it. Look at the Gemara. Bayi Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira also kasha. T'kafai echad b'faneinu. We're in Beitin now. They've come to Beitin. They've been holding this talis, they're grabbing it, fighting over it the whole way. We slept them into Beitin. Now they're suddenly in Beitin. In Beitin, one of them manages to overcome the other. Look at Rashi. T'kafai echad. Hotzia miyad chaveru b'choska. He manages to forcibly retrieve it from his friend. And now he's holding it. Varei kule b'yado. And it's all now in his head. Kodem shenishbo. Remember, they both had to make shvuas. Before they make the shvua, they ain't baked it, about to make the shvua, and somehow or other he manages to wrest it out of the guy's hand. So now mahu, now what? Right, now do we make them both make a shvua? Or what? So Gemara says, what are we speaking about? Either shatik, if the guy who lost it, right, loses it, either shatik, or duye or delay. Maybe it's an admission. Is he actually admitting it's not mine? Vida katzavach, and if he's screaming and shouting and ranting and raving, so my havelel mavat. What was he meant to do? What's the story? What's expected of him? What do we do now? The Gemara says, lo tzricha. That's not the question. But we're talking about a case. What are we talking about? The shatik mikara. Initially, he was quiet. Vahadar tzavach. That's, in other words, if he was screaming, then it seems like he's not admitting it. If he was quiet, he's admitting it. In other words, that's not our discussion. We're discussing it. Talking about where initially he was quiet, and then suddenly he started screaming. The Gemara says, now what's the story? Me da ashtik. From the fact that initially he was quiet, maybe that was really the true behavior. And or do ye or did I? That was the true behavior, and the guy was quiet, and it wasn't his. He was admitting that it wasn't his. Or Dilma, was going to maybe came under Katsava Chashta, maybe now that he's shouting, right? Igla Milta, this is the true reflection to hide the Shatik Mikari. Why was he quiet initially? Savar Hake Chazule Rabbana. He thought to himself, wait a second. It's obvious. I walked into Beit Din fighting over it. The guy managed to get it out of my hands, and all the Dayanim were standing there. Surely they saw what was going on. So he kept quiet because he just expected the Dayanim to say, well, obviously the guy wrestled it out of his hand and it's not his. But he sees that the Dayanim aren't doing anything. So he starts screaming. Right? That's the story. Right, so now I mean, Sabah Hakchad. Now what do we do? So Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Let's try and solve a bright." He said, "Toshma." He says, "Bamed the Vayimamuri." And what are we speaking about? Says Rav Nachman, "Sheshnehem Adukinba." That's if initially they were both Adukinya. I think meaning they're both holding it like pretty equally. I don't know how they tell me how the English translate this, but they're both holding it pretty equally. They were both grabbing a significant part of the talus of this cloak or whatever it was, and it seemed like they each had a rightful claim to it. Right, Abal Haita Talit. Yotzei mitachad yado shel echad mehen, hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. So when they came into Beit Din, grabbing it, holding it equally, so we understand they're going to make a shvua. But if suddenly it's out of their hands, so now we're back to square one. Hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. Bring aidim. The Gemara says, well, "What is it? Hechi tell me again. What is that case? Inayma kediktani. If it's just like you're telling me pshat." Rashi says, Shezele Vado Ches Baovade, when they walked into Beit Din, the one guy was holding it. So that's Pshita that only one guy. What's the question? Elo, we're talking about a case, Shetakva Echad Befanenu. Now, in Beit Din, he took it. Right? So the word says, no. Hacham, what are we talking about? Vaskinan Kagon, the Atul Kaman Kedetfisul Etarvayu. Ready, they walked in, they're both holding it. Vamrina Leyu and the Beit Din, the Dayanim said, Zilu Plugu, go and sort it out, do the negotiation. That word's Vanafku. Go out and go and pay each other, negotiate, come to an agreement, see who's taking it, pay out the other guy, something which you can split it into two. And they went out. Vahada, and they came back. Atu Kitafis Lachai, only one of them's holding it. And now, this is the story, says the Gemara. This is really the whole story. And hi, Amar, the one who's holding it says, or do you only, he admitted that it's mine. And the other guy, and Vahai Amar, and the guy who's not holding it, he said to the Dayanim, because they said to him, what's going on over here? What, have you done the deal? He says, no, he admitted it's mine, he gave it to me. Like I said, what are you talking about? I never gave it to you. But Demeya Gartner, I rented him in the meantime, my half. Well, I rented him the whole story. And now we say to the guy who claims that he rented it to him, that's why he's got it. I don't understand, he says. Up until now, you were telling us the guy's a gazlan, he's untrustworthy, we can't believe him. You're screaming every expletive in the dictionary, and what a bad guy this is, and he's stolen your jacket, your cloak. And now you happen to have just rented him without witnesses? Something fishy over here. Right? There's a Look at Rashi. Look at the Rabbeinu Chananya. Rabbeinu Chananya says it much nicer. If you can line with the Tosfot, Safek Milve Yeshana Yeshlo, that Tosfot there, the front, it says Safek Milve Yeshana Yeshlo Alav. Rashi line with this. Like this. V'tayin v'avahashta amart. The Beit Dayan said to him, Ogartele belo sahade, shikrant. You're lying. We don't believe you. So that is the question that we're discussing over here, right? So that's the Gemara said, that's the story. Another answer, maybe the case where they came and they were both holding it. And the one guy was just mashach basuche, like barely grabbing onto it. Like holding it, you know, from the from the edge or whatever. But I feel even sumchus, and even Sumchus, who would say that you can split stuff even out of Shvua, he would say that if it's not a real holding, look at Rashi here. We haven't got a dead ox in front of us, we've got no proof, there's no baby next to it, there's no nothing. In other words, if you aren't really hanging on to it, then you haven't got it. So maybe that's the case. So the bottom line of the Gemara says, what was this case we're speaking about? The one case, the Gemara's answer is, case number one is, where they went out and split it, the guys came in, and the guy was holding it, he said, I rented him, we don't believe him. Or case number two is, where he wasn't really holding it properly, he was just like holding onto the hem, or to the corner, whatever the case was. So Gemara says, Na'im, v'tim shiloma takfa echad b'faneinu, motzin ta miyado. So Gemara says, okay, fine. So we've discussed the case over here. If one guy gets it out of his hands, and then it's a little bit more difficult to know who's who, because maybe the guy's really just admitting it, or maybe he lied, maybe it wasn't to begin with, he gave up. But now what happens if that if one of them grabbed it out, so the Gemara says, you can take it away from him. Because we never really got an answer, but it would appear that unless these circumstances existed, you'd force him to give it back. In other words, the fact that he overcame him wouldn't really help. Our concern there was, because we've got extenuating circumstances, we have to believe that maybe something fishy is going on over here. Everybody with me? If it wasn't a fishy set of circumstances, the Gemara seems to conclude over here, Im timtzi lomar takfa echad b'faneinu, if one of them grabbed it right in front of us, you'd get it back. What if he never actually overcame the guy and got it out of his hands? But hegdisha, right? He magdished it. So the guy there is holding, standing in front of Beitin. They're fighting over this garment. Says, you know, I mag this the garment. So first we saw in Baba Kama a lot of the time. And in order to mag this something, it has to be yours, correct? It has to be in your possession and in your ownership. Remember? You can't mag this something that has to be both your possession and in your ownership. If it's in your possession, not your ownership, your ownership, not your possession, it doesn't really help. So he says, Higdisha Elam Makudeshet. So maybe if you're saying, so the Gemara said like this, if we conclude, in other words, I explained a little bit wrong, so it's not a conclusion. If we would conclude, that you would take it back, so then we would conclude, the guy was magnificent, which is not a condition. Why? Because if the fact that you'd grab it out of the guy's hand, we force you to give it back to him, means that the dayanim of the opinion is not yours, or at least hasn't been established that it's yours. So if it's not established that it's yours, you can't magnificent it, correct? That's one scenario. The imtim chiloma, if you'd say, on the other hand, im tafka echad b'faneinu, if he grabbed it out of his hands in front of us, ein motzino tamiyado, so then maybe he gdisha below takfa, ma'ahu, what would it be if he was magdishat? Would the fact that you wouldn't give it back be a conclusion that it's his and therefore he can magdishat? Or maybe we haven't concluded anything yet and we're not sure what it would be if you were magdishat. Everybody clear, right? Everybody with me? That's the Gemara says Mahu. So the Gemara is like this. Let's try and answer this question. Kevan da Amar Mar. I mean, the Gemara quotes over here, Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Baba Batra. We haven't seen it yet. We saw it in Kiddushi, but it wasn't Baba Kama. Amirato le Gavoa, Kemesirato le Hedjotami. Making a head, Amirato le Gavoa, with Magdi something, is if you gave it to somebody else, as if it's changing possession. So command the takfa dummy. It's exactly, it's tantamount to grabbing it from him because you've essentially given it to somebody else. So you've essentially taken it away from this guy. Or Dilma hashta miha halo takfa. But maybe he didn't really grab it yet. So they're still busy holding it. And therefore, he hasn't got it all in his possession. How is he able to make it magdish? Look at Rashi, the very last Rashi. Halo takva, v'ein yachol lagdisha. If how can he magdish it? It's not in his possession, not in his ownership. So how can it be? V'chetiv, and the pasuk tells us, chetiv v'ish ki yagdish et beito kodesh. Yagdish et beito kodesh l'Hashem. When can you magdish something? When it's your beito. So look at the Gemara. Ma beito birshuto, his house in his reshut. So in order to magdish something, afko birshuto, we need it in your reshut. La'afukehai, to exclude this particular situation over here, dro birshuto. So that's our question. The question is clear, right? Do we say that that we'd take it out of his hands and therefore we wouldn't, if he grabbed it, we wouldn't give it back to him, so therefore it's his? And therefore he can magdish it or not? Because he has to have an reshut, not an reshut. So Gemara says, Toshma. The Gemara is a story from Ahi Masuta. What's a masuta? A masuta is a beit merchat, says Rashi, a bathhouse. And we know asuta means health, correct? Asuta means health. That's where asuta hospitals get the name from, right? You know, Maccabi trained hospital asuta. Asuta means health. But masuta, right, is a bathhouse, says Rashi. Davu mantsu alei beitre. Two guys were arguing over, just shows you, this is as old as the hills, right? Partners arguing. Two guys arguing over here about who owns this bathhouse. Hi, Amar Didihu, hi, Amar Didihu. One guy says it's mine, that guy says it's mine. So what happens? Kam chad binayu, one of the partners, agdisha. He said, listen, I'm not going to get it, then you're not going to get it. And he's magdishit. And look what happens over here. Parsha mina, Rav Chananiya, Rav Oshia, v'chulu rabbanan. All the top rabbanim in the town stopped coming to this bathhouse. Why? Because hegdish. Can't go use a bath as a Hegdish. So they stopped coming.
They weren't sure if it was
Hegdish. Of course, they weren't sure. We'll never Gemara. But I'm saying, but their chashash over here is that it could be Hegdish, right? Okay, so thank you for
that. Why couldn't they just pay?
Thank you for the deal.
Why couldn't they just pay the money?
But you can't use Hegdish and stuff.
They're standing and do nothing.
It's for the Kohanim, I suppose.
Wow.
Once I magdish it, it's hegdish, and if you use it, you're over me'ila. Right? Is there no tlak there that mentions me'ila? I mean, I don't know. Just I don't see anything like that. I'm just saying. Right? So if they got to pay it, you say that the hegdish could rent it out. Okay, but then they have to do a deal with the there wasn't a Beit HaMikdash at the time when they did the Sid Bavel, eh? Who the Kohanim are going to run the show? You got to stick it around and wait for the Yahweh Navi to come with Beit HaMikdash. The moment that Hegdash is asur to use, you can only Hegdash you can use if there's an arrangement with the Kohanim, with the Gizbar. There's no Gizbar, right? So Havu Manchul Ala Beitra, Hai Amad Yahweh, Chali Rashi Rabbanan, V'Amad Rav Oishel Rabba. So Rav Oishia says to Rabba, he says, listen, Rabba, we've got a big kasha over here. Ki azalt, or azlat kamed Rav Chizda leKafri, when you go, right, and he was obviously going to Kafri, and Rav Chizda leKafri was the big gadol there. Maybe it was a mumche in the story. He says, when you go to Rav Chizda of Kafri, right, where Rav Chizda was, bayi mina, ask him. So in the meantime, right, Rava was on his way to Kafri to Barkiata to Surah. He arrived in Surah, right? He came to Surah. Was Rava from Pumpadita? Where was Rava from? Steve, where was Rava from? Look on your list there. Where was Rava from? Right, so Kiata to Surah, Amale Ravim Nuna. Ravim Nuna says to him, obviously this thing was a big topic of discussion. Right, everybody above there was talking about this bathhouse that was now the Chacham couldn't use. So Rav Ibn Nun says to him, Matnitini, it's our Mishnah, we got a Mishnah. And he quotes him a Mishnah in Masechet Tarot, where he says, Safek Bechorot, this gets a little bit tricky. Right? He says, Safek Bechorot, a person that we're not sure if, he says, Echad Bechor Adam, Echad Bechor Behema, both human beings and animals. If we Safek it's a Bechor, why we Safek it's a Bechor? We're not sure if there was a miscarriage, for example. Let's say the woman had a miscarriage. Was it a fetus that she miscarried, or was it just the uterus that she miscarried, or was it Rashi said, yeah, Ruach, I think. Look at Rashi, he says over here, Safek Bechorot. Good Behemah Sheyaldav Enya doing Bachra Kfar Imlo. He gives a job of animal, gave birth. We're not sure this is the first animal that the female animal is giving birth to or not. We don't know. We're not sure. or echad b'chor adam, b'chor adam, kagon she'epila imo lefanav, the mother that had a miscarriage, safek davar ha'poter b'chora, safek ruach epila, uva achara b'chor. Because sometimes it might not be a proper miscarriage, maybe it wasn't really a developed fetus, and it wouldn't pasul the b'chor. So we got a situation where the b'chor of the animal or the person was born, and it's a safek. Right? Bain tohorim, bain temeim. Tohorim me'aviyah, and temeim me'aviyah means like a peter chamor, you know, even a donkey. Right, you have to do a peter chamor, you have to give a say, right? Otherwise, you're going to rip its neck, you're going to, or araftor, you're going to kill the donkey, otherwise, you can redeem it. Hamoti mechaveru alav araya. He said, the Mishnah says that Hamoti mechaveru alav araya. Right? Look at Rashi, safek bechorot. There's a Rashi over here from Nedarim. That says a kohen de baila fuke bine alav lavi raya shein bechorot shelo hepila nefil kolim lachen. If a kohen wants to take, bring proof that it's actually a bechor lachen. Kolim lachen ve'i tafas lehu kohen ala baalim lavi raya de la bechor. And on the other hand, if the kohen grabs it, the owners have to bring a proof. It wasn't a kohen a bechor. The kohen walks into the house. Ah, yeah, there's a newborn cow here, a bechor of a calf. I want it. He grabs it. Now you got to go and prove it wasn't a bechor. If the kohen isn't able to get into your house, he has to be proved that it's a bechor. Either case, amotzi mecharev alav araya. Right? So that's what he says over there. V'tani ala. What does he say? V'tani ala. Right? And there's a brighter, which we've learned on that Mishnah. Asurim begizav avoda. That even though it's a safek bechor, you can't use, if it's an animal, not a human, you can't shear it and you can't make it work. We've got to treat with a safek bechor. And in our case, he says over here, takfu kohen ein mochno miyado. No, sorry, in this case over here, right? The way we explained it, that Rashi explained it from the Gemara Nida, that if the animal took, if the kohen did takhap it, you can't go back and take it from him. Because it's safek bechor, the kohen now has got, you got to bring proof, it's not a bechor. So we see the kohen chapped it, we don't force him to give it back, correct? You've got to bring a proof. Says Vahacha the Amar Takfo Koin, the Koin got it. Ein Motzi Domiyado. Why? Diktania Motzi Mechav Alav Araya. So the Gemara says as follows: Vechilo Takfo, and if the Koin hadn't grabbed it yet, Asurin Begizav Avoda. So what does he want to say over here? He's just proving to him that the Safek Hegdesh of the Bechor is a proper Safek. It creates huge limitations. So you're trying to answer him and saying, this masuta, this bathhouse over here, where you guys, where he was magdishit, maybe the hegdish, the taka hegdish. Could we see that the safek hegdish on the bechor creates elements of hegdish? So maybe the fact that this guy was magdishit creates elements of hegdish. So Amale Rabba, so Rabba now says to Rav Chisda from Rabbi Mnuna, says to Rabbi Mnuna, what are you talking about? Kedusha Bechor Kamart? He said, like, what? You're talking according, comparing it to Kedusha Bechor? Lo'olam emalach takfu kohen motzir oto miyado. I will tell you that you're wrong. If the kohen grabs it, we take it back from the kohen. Look at Rashi. Lo'olam, it's a long Rashi over here. Let's just quickly finish this part of the Gemara, then we're going to the Rashi. He says, va'afilu achi asurim begizav avoda. But nonetheless, the fact that we can't use it for work and we can't shear it doesn't in any way enable the kohen to keep it. The kedusha, there's a completely different level of kedusha. Why? The kedusha ba'a mi'alei sha'ani. This bechor is not a kedusha that we impose on the animal. It's a kedusha that's inherent in the animal. It comes by itself. We don't have to do anything. The very fact that it's a safek bechor means that there's a safek kedusha there. In our bathhouse case, the guy was magdishit. Who's he to magdishit? How do you compare the two? You know, I think it's good enough for our purposes. In fact, so Amalei Rav Chananya Rabba. So Rav Chananya says to Rabba, Tanya de Mesailach. You know what? I've got a brighter that supports you, Rabba. I like what you're saying. I agree with you. That safek kedusha is completely different. The kedusha of the Bechor is a kedusha which is inherent. And that's why we got the suffix of the Kedusha. Here, the Kedusha that you guys are, what I said, Makdish, this bathhouse, is nothing. And he says, and the fact that you tell me we can't share it and we can't use it to work isn't proof anyhow either. Because those are the Sveikot which come from the inherent Kedusha. The fact that this guy went to the Magdish, the bathhouse, there's nothing we can use it. And we'll tell the rabbis of the town they can go back and start bathing again. Right? They're smelling, okay? Well, but so he says over here, what's his brighter that supports him? He's telling him, it's quite a brighter over here, right? So the Masor HaShah says, Ikaro b'mishna b'chorot. He says, most of it is the Mishnah. V'derech HaShas lekatzer k'mo shekatvu tosfot zuka. And he says, because he quotes a very short version, he says, "Tal de Masailach, hasveikot yichzin adir lehitaser." Now, what's a sveikot? We've got other types of sveikot now, right? Not a sveika of a bechor, but if you got sveikot, you know that we've got to muff every time, every year, a person's supposed to take all their newborn flock, right? Their bakar and tzon. I don't think it applies to chayot, to deer and things like that. I think it only applies to domestic animals. You got to bring all your new flock every year through a pen, a narrow pen, and you count it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Put a red marker on that 10 one. It's a maser behema. It belongs to the owners, not to the kohanim. That's why we say, you know, in the korbanot in the morning, we mention there the kochim kalim. Remember that? Anybody say those things? Anybody say those things? We've got Kochim Kalim. One of the Kochim Kalim, we've got the Maser, the Bechor, and the Pesach, I think. HaBechor, VaHaMaser, VaPesach, Kochim Kalim. Right, that's in the Korbanot, we say it in the morning. HaBechor, VaHaMaser, VaPesach, Kochim Kalim. Shechitatan, Bechor, Makom, Bazek, Shechit, anyway. VaDaman, Tun, Matna, Echad, VaVat, Shetan, Gengar, Yesod, Shina, VaChitatan, HaBechor. Because it says, yeah, Bechor is Necha le Kohanim. We say in the morning, right? The Bechor, the Kohanim eat the Bechor. Vahamaser le Chol Adam. Anybody can eat the Maser. Venechalin Bechol Air. You can eat it in the whole of Yerushalayim. Bechol Machal, whatever you want. Lishnei Yamin Vlalecha, 2 days and 1 night. Then the Pesach, and Nechale Belaile, and Nechale Bechatzot, and Nechale Minuyav, and Nechale Letzali. And the Kohanim said, the Bechor is eaten by the Kohen. But the maser is eaten by anybody who can eat the maser, right? The kochim kali, but you got eaten in Yerushalayim. Betahara, obviously. So here he says over here, we've got the sveikot. So he says, nonetheless, a sveikot. The Rashi explains it. What's a sveikot? A sveikot, I'm reading now from about 5 lines before the end of the wide lines, the narrow lines. Lekam mefaresh besafek pidyon peter chamor. Demafrish alav tale. Lafkuya isura. Right? Vula atzmo she'en tzarich litno lekoen. Shamot v'chavaraya, upidyon peter chamor bar isurehu. What's going on here? If you've got a donkey and your donkey gives birth, so you want to keep that donkey, the firstborn donkey, so you dedicate a taleh, right? A lamb, calf, whatever it is, right? And now that calf is got kedusha, but you can eat it. It's like the same thing as maser, you can eat it. And Rafa Shalav taleh, so you set aside the taleh. Now, who lacks Moshe Echichli et lo Kohen? Upidyor petechamor bar isurehu. And this pidyor petechamor, right, is bar isurehu. So, im yesh lo Kohen, 10 pitrei chamorim. Let's say that the Kohen gets 10 of these things. Shenaflu mi beit avi imo, who was a Yisrael. Let's say the Kohen himself inherits a flock of these 10. His father, his grandfather on his mother's side was a Yisrael. He was a big farmer. And he farmed a lot of donkeys, okay? And from every time a new donkey gave birth, he set aside a taleh, and now he had a herd of these animals, and he's got 10 of them. The Kohen would have to mafrish the taleh. We have to do mafrish a maser. And he'd keep it himself, the Kohen, right? But he'd have to mafrish it. So now, look what happens. So these, if the safek pidyon bechor, right, they can form part of the 10. Now, if a Kohen would happen and say that he wants this taleh, so you're going to take it back from him. How come you can put it into the deer? Well, if it's a safek kedusha, the Kohen, if he grabs it, you can't get it back from him. So then, we say, Motzi mechavro alav araya. Every time we say, Motzi mechavro alav araya, means if a guy grabs it, you're going to bring proof that it's his, or you're going to prove that it's yours, either in either direction. And it now it goes, but it's in the pen. Nimtza zeh poter mamono b'mamono shel kohen. Really, that animal belongs to the kohen. You stuck it into your pen. If you count that as the 10th animal, you being motzi, you helping yourself, you taking aside a maser mamon from the kohen's money. Are you with me? Using the kohen's money to do your maser. Right? So that's his brighter, what's saying that you're right, that the kedusha doesn't really exist. Because if the kedusha really existed, how can you use that taleh to mafrish a tenth of your animal? Doesn't belong to you. So Abaya says to so this was Rabbi Chanan said to Rabbah. So Amale Abaya says, Imishum ha lo tesai lemar, said to Rabbah. Rashi says, why do you call him Mar? Because Mar was his teacher. He says, if you're relying on that brighter there, Rav Chananya, there's no help for you, Rabbi, to tell us that this bathhouse is not Kedusha. Because what are we talking about in this case of the Mafrish? When the guy only had 9 other animals and this Taleh. He says, it makes a difference. If it's proper Maser, so it's Maser. If it wasn't a proper Maser, so then it wasn't included in the 10. It was never a considered Maser in the first place. Are you with me? Right? So he says, "E bar chiyuvu who Shapir explained. E bar chiyuvu, if that safek taleh is part of the 10 and he should be doing maser, so Shapir ka maser. Then when he did maser, it's proper maser. And Eli, so therefore he wasn't using the coin stuff because it was chayev in the first place. And he loved bar chiyuvu. If that was a saf, it really belonged to the coin. So then we never had tisha lav bar maser. Never had to begin with. So when he did maser, wasn't really doing anything. He was going through the motions. He wasn't really doing proper maser. So he wasn't using the kohen's money to help because he wasn't chayiv any in the first place. Okay, are you with me? Right. So hadar amar Abaya. After he said that, listen to this. Abaya had integrity. So hadar amar Abaya. Abaya says lav milti hidami. What I said, ignore what I said, Rabbi. I take back what I said. It didn't really make sense. Look at Rashi. He says, "Love milti hid amri devadai siyata hilamar." Really, that brighter that who was it over there that Rav Chananya told you is a good story, and really, you're right. The bathhouse isn't got any hekdesh in it. Why? Look what he says. Desveika milta hid amri desveika la barisurihi. He said, "Love milti hid amri desveika la barisurihi." It's not a safek. That safek is not barisurihi. It's not quite a mishnah. If he had already taken out from the previous round a maser animal or one of the animals that he already counted and they jump back into the pen, then the whole lot of animals now all patur, right? I'm stopping over here. Okay, we're going to carry on with that whole answer tomorrow.